Mr. Robert Black. Welcome to the Betascape
Hey Beastly, it's great to be
podcast.
here. I'm honored to be on your show, and it feels I'm nervous with the tables turned because I'm used to being the interviewer.
I know, because you had me on your podcast, Sexual Heroes, which was so great, and we did something that I'd never done before. It was pretty experimental to me. Or I was actually baity the whole time we were doing this interview, which was such a great experience for me because it was a lesson learned for me that I don't have to be sexually stimulated to bait my penis. Like I can just always kind of love on myself and not have to be in this like horny, like I wasn't at my usual horniness that time. It was great.
And I got great feedback on it from people.
Good.
Yeah.
As long as people are listening, I love it. But here we are, sharing information about the powers of like masturbation and sex and de-shaming sex, which is really great. I feel like we're doing God's work.
Well, somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. Why not us? Why not you? First of all, I had no idea when we started contacting each other via Twitter. By the way, where can people find you? Where are you located? All that good stuff.
So my primary Twitter account, I guess, is Robert Black XXX. And then my sort of beta persona has its own Twitter profile, and that's Alpha Beta XXX, which is also my name on Bait World.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Bait World. Love Bait World. We're both on Bait World. I feel like, are we friends on Bait World? We should be. We will be.
Oh, and of course, my podcast is Sexual Heroes, and it's on pretty much any podcast app or sexualheroes.com.
Yes, and you can also find Robert's new Tumblr, right? Which is so sexy. And that's at, I believe it's Robert Black. Robertblack.newtumblr.com. So it's the new Tumblr. Because Tumblr took a shit and was just like, no more porn. And I was just like, dude, that's the end of your career, Tumblr. You're over.
I'm so sick of the world trying to purify everything from sex. It's so annoying, especially our government.
Yeah, I know. And I was really sad when new Tumblr went away because it was just like a hub for me to like be creative, and look at art. And then sex was included in that, so it was just like an easy hub to just go to. But I feel like new Tumblr is starting to be that for me for sure. There's a lot of good content on new Tumblr.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much for being on the show and. Let's just start talk about your career. I was so fascinated when I started researching your new Tumblr and like all the work that you've done. And you said that you were a porn star for 10 years.
Yeah, it started in 1998.
Yeah, talk to me about that journey.
I had left my long-term relationship back in 96, and then in 97, I left a long-term corporate job. I was up in the Northeast and I moved down to Fort Lauderdale. I just wanted to start fresh. And I had gotten into the BDSM leather scene. And in 98, when I was down there, a friend said, "Hey, Brush Creek Media is coming to town and they're looking for someone to be a submissive in a scene for their video. You ought to send in your picture and go for it." And I did it, and that started everything. And I had a lot of fun. It wasn't a sex video. There was no sex in it. I just got myself flogged on a cross. That was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, and then that just kind of sprung into more stuff for you.
It wasn't a sex video, and I've said this before, if it was a sex film, I probably wouldn't have done it.
It's okay. We hear the pup. We love pups. We love pups on the base. all forms of pups.
Okay. Okay. If it had been a sex video, I wouldn't have done it, because I was just not, and I've said this many times, just not secure about having sex.
It's fascinating to me.
Yeah. But after I did it, I really enjoyed the whole process. I had done community theater a lot when I was younger. And so it was like, you know,
you're getting used to be performing.
Yeah, I liked performing.
Yeah.
And when we shot the film, there was a huge crowd watching because it was done at a resort. And so, and I wasn't really in shape then. I wasn't working out. And I decided after I did that, I thought, you know, I love Zeus videos. There were BDSM videos, and I always admired them because the models were so beautiful, so hot and muscular. And I just dreamed of, you know, being in one of those. And so I hired a personal trainer and got super lean and sent in my info there. And he, Daddy Zeus, the guy who own the company, he ended up hiring me, and I shot two videos the first time, and then he named me 1999 Zeus Boy of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah. And so one of the two videos that he wanted to shoot that first time, one was purely SM, so, you know, I got my ass beat in that one in a few different ways. And the other one was a sex wrestling video. So I kind of got my feet wet doing sex on camera in that film. And I enjoyed it. It was actually, I was more comfortable having sex on film with someone, a stranger, than I am just trying to connect with someone when the film's not rolling. It's very strange, I know. So, he got me going. I did quite a few Zeus videos, and Daddy Zeus and I became good friends, and he helped me get in with a lot of the bigger studios like Raging Stallion, Falcon, Hot House, Catalina.
Yeah. So
I did about 50 films.
Yeah. That's amazing. Do you have like fond memories of that time?
I do. I have a lot of good memories.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because I always hear like this horrible narrative of just like, oh, porn ruins your life. And like, everyone will like know what you do, and like you'll never work again. Like, it's just like this horrible stories. And I'm just like, why does it have to be so devastating? Like,
yeah, there were a couple of negative consequences along the way. My dad was running for office at one point, a political office, and someone sent in a link to my website, my porn website at the time. He ended up withdrawing. So, you know, it had been such a problem. And then somewhere along the line, someone, because I had a real job, a day job, and someone sent a mass email to everybody in my office with photographs and a link to my website and all this stuff. And it was horrible.
Yeah, I feel like it could have been more devastating at that time.
Yeah.
I think the implications of doing porn were much more dangerous.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
But as far as negative stuff in, like, doing the porn, being in the industry, really very few negative experiences for the most part. It was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I was looking at your new Tumblr, and I noticed that you had a scene with Blake Harper. And I commented on that with you because I was like, oh my god, Blake Carter was like one of my like porn crushes in the 90s. Like, he was truly one of my, like, when I started watching porn as a young gay boy or gay teen, like, he was a standout for me. And I'm trying to remember exactly why. It must have been just like, he just seemed like a really sexy older brother, because he just seemed really fun, and like, he looked like he was really having a good time. And it was just like, I want him as like my brother.
The scene I did with him was for Raging Stallion. And the scene was a three-way with him and his then boyfriend, Jason Branch, and me. And Jason, I had met on the set of an earlier video for Falcon. That was Phoenix Rising.
I'm trying to look for this image on your new Tumblr as I'm talking to you, because it's so fun.
In the Falcon video, Jason was on the set when I was doing my scene, and I had been paired with some young twinks. And I was looking over at Jason, like, why didn't they pair me with him? Because, you know, I was older and, you know, I had already connected with him, but that wasn't the way it went. But he helped me get through the day. Yeah, I see that picture.
It's such a beautiful picture. Yeah. It's like three sexy guys just like hanging out, like total broskies, like total vibe. Do you still keep in touch with these people?
Actually, I did message with Jason a few months back. It had been a long time since we did that. But no, there are very few people that I did scenes with that I still keep in touch with. Some of them I do, though.
Yeah, that's cool. I would like to think, I mean, like, you share this space together, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But I know how it goes. I've done that before. Like, I think when I first started exposing my bait, I worked with two people, and one of them is out. I did a video with a person that was into feet, and that was kind of like my introduction to, like, I guess sex work, because I've been paid for that video. And then I quickly changed, or not quickly changed my mind, but I wanted to change how I wanted to present my sex out in public. I think at that point I was like, oh, I just want to get my foot in the door and kind of test it. And I was like, wait, like, this isn't intentional, and I don't want to play with people's time and energy, because this is a business, like, this is work for people, and I don't want to take advantage of that. And so I quickly was just like, okay, I have to manage this in the way that I feel that's most authentic to me. And then that just strictly became just solo play. So any kind of showing off that I do, I don't do it with anybody else. It's mostly myself. And I was very intentional with communicating to people. I am a solo sexual. I am a baiter. This is my energies. This is the advice and the wisdom that I want to share with people. And it's been good. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to know why you separate the two, like, what you do as in terms of porn, and then what you do in terms of, like, baiterness.
In terms of porn and baiting,
because you have like two, you said you had two Twitters, right? And so you said one is more bait focused, right? And the other one's just, what's the other one?
Well, the Robert Black is sort of like the umbrella thing, and then
got it.
Then because the whole baiting thing, and that's more like it's just a more specialized focus. The Robert Black thing, I could post politics or whatever, but as alpha baiter, it's just pretty much everything focused on baiting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I'm at a point now where I'm conflicted now. Like, I'm just like, oh, like, what do I really want to communicate to people? And I feel like, oh, maybe I should separate them, because I am studying to be a sex coach, and I do recognize myself as being a bait coach. I feel like I've had enough experience under that belt, and I feel like it's further enhanced by the education I'm getting, and the education and the training that I'm getting now. But then again, I struggle with the idea of, like, oh, I don't want my baiterness to invalidate my sex coach work, right? Because it's just like, it's all inclusive. Like, I'm just a sexual person, and I can share information, and I can empower people to be their most sexual self while still showing my dick. And I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm trying to communicate, because I feel like we've been taught, maybe you can experience this too, when people know what you've done as, like, a sexual human and the work that you've done, and then they meet you, people are already pushing the boundaries, right? Because they're just like, oh, well, you've done it, why can't we do it now? And you're just like, whoa, this is a completely different interaction. It's a completely different situation. I'm not in that mindset. So, like, you're a person, I'm a person, and we're having, like, this.
That's a great point. Yeah. And
yeah,
back when I was doing porn, there wasn't OnlyFans or Just for Fans. It was studio right. work. And I did work that didn't really represent my sexuality personally. It was Robert Black, the persona, not Robert Black, you know, what he might do in his bedroom. Like I did some fisting videos. You'll never find me fisting off camera somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, that's so interesting. Because like we see what you do, like, and this can go for any sex worker performer. Like you see what you do, and essentially we're paying you for this fantasy. Like, oh, we want to see you get fisted, or we want to see you get DP'd or whatever. But I never, yeah, that's really great perspective to know that, well, this is a fucking movie. Like, I'm gonna go home and just like masturbate and call it a day. And that's what I would regularly do on a Saturday night, you know. But we have this narrative in our mind, like, oh, they must be getting banged every day. But I want to go talk a little bit about history of like how, like, when did you feel that you first began being like, or when did you first feel that you started to begin to be really sexually embodied, and that you were like, oh, like, I love sex enough that I want to show it publicly? Did this start like as a teenager, as like a young adult?
I think, well, when I left that long-term relationship, that first one, it was after 15 years, and I connected with this hardcore BDSM couple. And I was really sexually very inexperienced and shy. And that was like a fast track to, you know, hardcore stuff.
Yeah. But what was the catalyst for that interaction? Had you always thought about BDSM? Like, how did that?
Yeah. I've talked about this a lot. Robert Conrad, do you remember? You're probably too young. Robert Conrad was a star of Wild Wild West. It was an old show. And it was racy for the time because they always had him tied up, shirtless. You know,
this is a TV show?
Yeah, hands over its head. For way back then, that was pretty racy. And that got my juices going. I jerked off to that a lot. And,
nice.
You know, I had fantasies of being tied up, stripped down naked in public without, you know, any control. And so
What age was this?
We're talking like 10, 11.
Okay, here we go.
Young. Yeah.
I can, relatable.
Yeah. I was a horny devil.
You know. Relatable, yes. Yeah.
And then it just grew from there. And then when I got in with that couple, they had a party once where one of them fucked me with their friends standing around. And that was a huge deal for me. And it was hot. I just, you know, that did it. And so I'm sure that was sort of the, you know, the beginning of all that.
Yeah.
And then of course I did the BDSM film and I was, you know, naked in front of everybody and just went on from there.
Yeah. That's really hot. I feel like I had the same kind of, I've talked about this in a previous podcast, but my sexual awakening came with Keanu Reeves in the movie Speed.
Okay.
And I remember being, I think I was at a way like at like some church camp when I was really young, and I think the movie had just come out, I believe it was around 1992 91, and I think I was, of course, I was jerking off all the time, but someone was just like, oh, we should watch the movie Speed, it's a really cool movie, I heard it was really great. And we watched it, and I remember sitting there like in the dark with this glowing screen in front of me, and Keanu Reeves was just this hot, sexy man. And I was just like, this is making my dick tingle. There is something. I was like, why do I feel this way about this? But I felt I felt like flushed and I felt embarrassed and I felt excited because I was getting a boner the entire time. And it was kind of like, yep, I like dudes. This is good. yeah, it was pretty great. I think it's so profound, those sexual awakenings, when you're like, when I think oftentimes we just forget about them because we live our lives and we grow up to be these sexual people, and that's what we know in the present. But it's always so like powerful to remember that like first experience of when like you remember like, oh shit, like this is like my first sexual awakening in which I can remember having these powerful feelings of sex.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about an early time when I was young. I was supposed to babysit for this couple, and daddy picked me up in his sports car, and daddy didn't have a shirt on, and he was muscular and had this furry chest. And yeah, I mean, I was a little kid and I was just I thought about, I'm still thinking about it. It's like 100 years later.
And I think that's so, I thank you for normalizing that, because I feel like I had crushes on like my dad's friend. I think at one point I even had a crush on my dad. And it's all like nebulous because you're just like, oh, you're what you're really attracted to is maleness. But that goes to say that I'm into incest now. Like I think it's hot, it's sexy, it's all like this fantasy. But I try to de-shame that a lot for a lot of people, because I now that I've been exposed in this line of work, I get a lot of that, like, oh, I bait to my dad all the time, and like these men have like these shamed ideas about it, and I'm just like, that's totally normal. Hence why I recorded that podcast episode. But I feel like you're the person perfect to talk about this, because I feel like I've been triggered a couple of times today. I posted this video on my Snapchat of like me frauding with another guy, and I've gotten a lot of feedback that was just like, oh, I didn't know you were gay, or wow, that changed my perception, because I thought you were like straight. And I was like, whoa, like I was like, where did this idea come from? Like, when did frauding have a sexual orientation? And then I sent out a tweet just recently, and I was just like, yo, like frauding with another male kind of transects sexual orientation for me. Like when I'm in the presence of another man, like I don't see you as being straight or gay or bi. Like I just see you as male, and I'm attracted to the energies that you're providing to me. Does that resonate with you somehow?
I mean, I get what they're saying. If there's an image of you with another man and you're skin to skin, that's kind of gay. Right? I mean, something you said on the podcast with me, really, I've given a lot of thought to. We talked about sexuality on a spectrum. You did. Yeah. And since then, I've been thinking, because I have a whole quirky, I'm quirky when it comes to sex, but you said you can be solo sexual and still want to do this or that with somebody. It's just, it's fluid. You're constantly sliding on the spectrum. And I think since we had that discussion, I thought, you know what? I think I am primarily solo sexual. I just happen to once in a while want to get fucked or want to top somebody or whatever it is. But I think the reason that bait world, getting on there was definitely the beginning of realizing that that was great. Like that was a very enjoyable part of my sexuality, and that other people embrace it as the steak and potatoes of their sex. And that's what it's become for me.
Do you identify as gay?
Yes.
So I think the reason why I think that tweet was more for my straight brothers, because I think the idea of, I think straight men want to engage in a sexual space with men, but they still have all this shame of like, oh, I'm straight, I'm not supposed to enjoy this. And if I do, then it means that I'm gay. And then they get hung up with the idea and they can't fulfill other sexual aspects that bring them joy in their life, which is having sex with women. And what I want to do is I want to really de-shame that experience for them and say, hey, simply because you're engaging in this space with me, it doesn't take away your sexual orientation.
Can it, I mean, what is the difference then between bisexuality, then the difference between bisexuality and a heterosexual man who occasionally gets together with a guy?
I think because it's the two, it's the two sexual orientations. I think straight men who are very straight will just be straight, right? And so in my experience, I've hooked up with straight men, or I baited with straight men that had so much shame. And it was very much like, you sit on that end of the couch and I'm going to sit on this end of the couch and we're not going to touch each other. Don't even look at me. I just like being in this space with you. Yeah. And it's like I can remember a situation, and I was in, this man was just like, I could see that he wanted to be closer. I could see that he wanted to be more intimate with me, and he hesitated, and it brought me such pain. Cause I was just like, my guy, like, I'm here with you. I'm not going to judge you for this, and I won't shame you. I want to be able to offer whatever I have because I can see that you want to, but you're not letting yourself. Again, you know, for whatever things, it could have been a multiple of reasons, but I think in that space, it was just a lot of, again, shame and guilt over like, oh, what does this say about me as a straight man?
Well, I guess we really should just get rid of all labels and just say, be in the moment. Like, what difference does it make?
You know, I was just having this conversation with this sex coach classmate, and he was asking me, like, well, what's your type? And I was like, you know what? At this point in my life, I don't have a fucking type, man. I get off on a vibe, and that vibe transcends sexual orientation. It transcends gender. It transcends race. It transcends socioeconomic status. All of that shit. If I see you and I'm attracted to the sexual energies that you're giving me, I'm down.
Absolutely. That's why I say I have very diverse taste. However, you know, there are certain physical things that trigger me. So
yes,
you know,
it's relatable. There goes that spectrum.
Yeah.
I love a good spectrum. And I think it's so helpful people to understand that too, but I have to be cautious of that too, because not everyone's knowledgeable about that. You know, we are, because we have an interest in this work, in this field. But I have to always remember, you know, there's this that young man in rural America that has no exposure to any of this. And they have to like be a lot more compassionate and informative and educational.
Right.
Do you feel like you take on that role, like
being an educator and
about sex?
Absolutely. I get a lot of feedback from people all over the world saying that they heard a podcast and that what the guest said really resonated with them, or what I said, and it's helped them become more accepting of themselves.
Isn't that so powerful?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I love that too. And I've had conversations too where it's just like, oh, well, you know, sometimes people just want to show their sex and get paid and get fucked. And I'm just like, that's cool too. And there's a space for that. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I thrive on having conversations about education and empowerment and autonomy and agency. Like, that really gets me off, because a lot of the times my sex is so intellectual, like it's so up here because I'm a solo sexual. And so I have to turn myself on mentally as well as visually, because I'm so alone, you know? And so like having this conversation is a turn on for me.
Cool.
But what do you do now in terms of like sex practices? Are you still in the porn industry, or is that something that you don't do anymore?
I was doing Chatterbait.
Oh, okay, cool.
I haven't done it in a month or so. I just, well, I'll be honest. I went through a kind of a down period.
Last year?
Just in the past few months, I went through a little down, little depression. And it's been a problem on and off my whole life. So I stopped doing the Chatterbait and I just need a break from it.
Sure.
I'm doing well right now. I just
good.
I don't feel like it right now. If it doesn't feel good and I'm not enjoying it, why do it? So I do Camelot. Yeah. I Camelot on Bait World. That's a big outlet for me. I love it.
What?
Yeah.
You need to text me when you're about to do that because okay. I will jump on so hard.
God, I'm on there a lot.
Are you really?
Was it on your Twitter feed? Somebody you might have retweeted or commented on one. Somebody mentioned bait crushes. They said something. Okay. They used the term a bait crush. Mm-hmm. So like another baiter you would know from the cam room, and you just have a crush on them basically. And when they show up in the cam room, you're like, ha ha ha! Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I just like that really resonated with me because I love going into the room and then there are certain guys that they just make you feel so good when they're there.
Maybe I should get in on that. I don't know. I've never been, to me personally, and I get requested all the time. It's probably like the number one request from people, like, get on cam with me. Will you get on cam with me? And I don't know, like I have to work out my own. Okay, so here it is, people. This is the reason really why I don't cam with anyone. But it's the reason why is because I feel like I still need time to process my own insecurities on cam. It's a time for me to really say, people want to see me. They want to see my sex. And it comes from a history of people never really wanting that from me. So I often find it hard to communicate. And I think people are just like, I've gotten the feedback where it's like, well, who do you think you are? Like, you're not that great to not get on cam. I'm just like, it's not that I don't want to get on cam with you. It has nothing to do with you. And it's hard to share that info.
Yeah. Well, I don't cam one-on-one very much. I definitely like the group thing.
Mm-hmm.
More so.
Why is that?
If it's going to be one-on-one, I mean, it's, you know, there has to be a certain chemistry and so I need to kind of feel that out in a cam room first to know if I want to take it somewhere else, like one-on-one.
Yeah. I feel that too.
Yeah.
I think that's totally relatable. I feel like I have better experiences when I feel like there's a connection for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah. I always get hit up and they're just like, bait my cam. And I'm just like, I have no idea who you are. It's often these mm-hmm. people with blank profiles.
Yeah.
Again, it's like, because I know from my own experience of having a lot of sex shame that it's not going to be a good time. I want someone that's like open and vulnerable and communicative and more comfortable with exposing themselves to me and relish in the sexual act that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from experience too. You know, being with someone that has a lot of sex shame, it's like, this is awkward. It's a bummer. And I'm not really getting off. It's not working for me. Have you experienced that before? Like, have you just been with someone and be like, this isn't really working?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, that's another reason why one-on-one is more difficult because, like, let's say I get on Skype with somebody and then I'm just not really feeling it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, you know what, this is, I'm not in the moment here. It's just not working. But if you're in a cam room, you know, you just click the exit button and you're done. That's it.
Pro tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So Chatterbait. And then anything else? Do you do anything like services on the side or?
Like escorting or?
Or like massaging or anything?
Oh.
I feel like, I don't know. I might have been mistaken. Did you mention that to me before?
Okay. So I have a real job, a day job.
Right.
And then just before the pandemic started, I ordered a brand new massage table and I started to do massage.
Okay.
And then the pandemic hit. It was like 3 weeks later, everything shut down.
Oh no. And
I had done maybe 5 massages and I was really enjoying it. And that was it. So I haven't yet. I don't know if I'll even bother now. I'll see how I feel.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I don't, I won't.
Yeah.
I haven't advertised it again.
Oh. And you're located where now? Where do you live in the world?
Palm Springs.
I love Palm Springs.
You're in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. LA. Not too far away.
No.
I just bought myself I went to the sex store, my local sex store, and bought myself a magic wand.
What's that?
It's like a vibrator, you know, like the famous magic wand vibrators.
No.
Okay. I'd always wanted one. And I was just like, oh, I wanted to like get this vibrator, and I did, and I finally got it. But it's like the famous like white vibrators, and it has like the bulbous head on it.
Okay.
I should show it to you. Anyway, I'd always wanted one, and it has like an attachment on the head, and then it's like a sleeve.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And then you just fuck your dick with it, and it vibrates at the same time. Yeah, I'm gonna try that out later. It's gonna be a good time, I think.
I haven't tried any masturbation toys. I like the hand.
I like the hand too. Yeah. I feel like I was talking to a friend who was really into tantra sex, and he was just like, I love my hand because I can feel myself. Like there's nothing in the way between me and my love for myself.
Well, I mean, your hand and Albaline, it's like perfect. And you can vary the pressure, the speed, I mean, total control. I just don't know how it can get better than that.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. I don't know, but I just feel like also too, I have it for like group playtime or like buddy playtime. I also have this thing that we can introduce. I mean, I have a bag full of like sex toys, and I have like a bucket full of like accessories. I don't know. I like looking pretty while I bait. But that's because it's like I get that all the time, because I'll wear like these nut stretchers and people are just like, oh, does it hurt? And I'm just like, absolutely not. It feels amazing. And just like, oh, I've never tried it. And I was like, do it. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it's like accessorizing your genitals because they're so pretty.
Now you talk about baiting with other people and groups, and that is something I have a hard time with. Oh, hard. Ha ha ha. I have a difficult time rising to the occasion when I'm in a group situation.
Really?
Yeah.
But you don't have a hard time performing in front of a camera?
No.
That's fascinating to me. Tell me
more.
Isn't
that weird?
No, it's not weird. It's interesting. It's
like Chatterbait on cam, no problem. Hard as a rock.
No, but I'm talking about like you doing like porn, like porn, being recorded in front of like, and you had no trouble getting hard.
No. But if I'm in a group situation, it's like very difficult.
Why do you think that is?
Too much shit going around my head. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I haven't been able to figure out about myself when it comes to sex.
It's so interesting to me because I feel like, I think it's such a learning curve for me, and it's such a growing edge for me, because you see people in porn and they're just like, oh, they're so sexually embodied. They have to be. They're like having sex in front of the camera and they're putting on shows and da-da-da-da. And then you have a conversation like this and you're just like, whoa.
Like
it's a whole different persona. It's a whole different person.
My favorite way to get fucked would be to get tied up to some bench or something and just get drilled. like no control. My dick is doesn't even come into the equation. Just, yeah, that's my kind of fucking.
Wow.
And likewise, if I top somebody, I would rather just tie some guy down and just go for it.
Do you think that has to do with perhaps having difficulties being intimate?
Oh, definitely. Somebody? Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Growing up, there was zero affection in my family.
Okay.
I was basically ignored by dad, and you know, it was just, there was nothing. So yeah. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
How do you start to begin intimate with yourself? Are you intimate with yourself?
I think so. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, that sounds relatable to me. Like, I feel like I grew up in a family that wasn't very affectionate. I didn't have a good relationship with my father. I didn't have a good relationship with my older brother. And I had so much intimacy issues that I just couldn't connect with other people. And I realized that I had to teach that to myself. It's kind of like reparenting yourself, and you give yourself this intimacy and this love and affection that you so need and that you didn't obtain. And that's why I'm always telling people to just try to be intimate with yourself first, because then when you have a better handle of like what that is to you, you're more informed, and then you can share that with someone else. And mm-hmm. So when you're in the presence of another person, you can guide them into a space that's safe for you. So like when your most private sexual moments, when you're by yourself, do you embody that? Do you really take the time and focus within and love on yourself? And even if it's like verbally said out loud, like, Robert, I love you. Like, you are safe. You're okay.
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe this could be a really great time to try that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wonderful. I mean, not now in this present moment, but like in the time of like COVID, since we're all still separating, mm-hmm. it could be like a time for you to just really like kind of come home to yourself and really explore that relationship and what that means to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm rooting for you, bro.
Thanks.
I heart you. Oh, man. Well, this is such a fun conversation to have with you. It's like another person. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Usually when people find out about my sex life, it's not what they think.
It's not what I think, but it's not bad.
No.
It's totally neutral. Yeah. It's fascinating, actually, to me to get this perspective. That's why I love having these conversations. It's just like, oh, like there's so much more to a person than what I've seen online. You know, like you present this persona online and this thing to the world, but like is that really who you are? Mm-hmm. Like that's fascinating.
The only thing that is real is, you know, if people look through my photographs at the BDSM stuff, that's real. Like that's my thing. If you go through my new Tumble, and you see me tied up and like, that's where I loved doing that kind of stuff. And I do privately, you know, that would be my thing.
Yeah, I see it. Huh. It's such beautiful imagery. You should be really proud of this.
I am.
Good. It's chill. Whoa, that's hot. Holy fuck. This is a beautiful picture. Ugh. And it's funny though, because I would look at this. I mean, I look at it now. Not so much now, but definitely when I was younger. And I just want to be that too. So just know that you are inspiring to so many young men. And have inspired so many young men to be there.
Thanks.
They're sexy selves.
I've had people tell me, even in person, they've come up to me and said, I know who you are, and you're the reason why I'm into the leather scene, you know? So, yeah.
That's fucking cool. Let's celebrate that.
I love that.
Good. I love it too. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today on the podcast.
My pleasure. I'm very honored that you asked me to do it. And everyone, check out my podcast, sexualheroes.com.
Yeah, and they can find you on Twitter, Robert Black XXX.
Correct.
And also
Alpha Beta XXX.
The beta part. I want people to see the beta part too. Mm-hmm,
of course.
Since it's a beta podcast.
Yeah.
All right, everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I had a great time talking to you. I think you're so sexy and you're so inspiring, and continue to be your beautiful self.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I will catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.